Clara is a composite. The blockages, the conversations, the doors that closed are real, and they are closing across east of England now. This is their story. In NHS trusts from Suffolk to Essex, qualified nurses cannot access the graduate training programmes that would put them on hospital wards where senior staff work double shifts to cover vacancies. The training places exist, the candidates exist, but Treasury spending limits treat public investment as a cost to be minimised, rather than the means by which healing happens.
I wanted to be like my mum, but different. She worked nights cleaning the wards at West Suffolk Hospital, coming home at 6 a.m. with stories about the patients she'd chatted to while emptying bins and mopping floors. She knew which ones were scared, which ones couldn't sleep, which ones just needed someone to listen. I'd watch her take pride in making sure everything was spotless for the day shift, and I thought, what if I could do more than clean up? What if I could actually help them heal? I got through my A-levels at Stowmarket High School and earned a place at the University of Suffolk to study nursing. 3 years of lectures, placements, working weekends at Tesco to pay rent. I graduated in 2021 with a 2-1, ready to start the graduate training programme that would put me on the wards as a qualified nurse. I applied to West Suffolk NHS Foundation Trust first, obviously. That's where Mum worked, where I'd done my placements, where I knew the corridors and the consultants and the way the light fell through the windows in the children's ward. The interview went well, they liked my answers, my experience, my references, then came the phone call. Clara, we'd love to have you on the programme, but I'm afraid there are no funded places available this year. Health Education England has had to cap our training budget due to spending constraints. I asked what that meant. The manager explained it patiently, like she'd had this conversation before. The money isn't there, the Treasury has frozen training budgets across the region, we simply cannot afford to run the programme at the levels we'd like. That sounded reasonable. Disappointing, but reasonable. Money was tight everywhere, wasn't it? I tried East Suffolk and North Essex NHS Foundation Trust. Same story, we'd love to take you, but the training budgets have been frozen. Then Cambridge University Hospitals. Same words, there is no funding for additional graduate training places this year. So I took a job as a healthcare assistant at West Suffolk Hospital, thinking I'd reapply next quarter. Same hospital where Mum cleaned, same wards, but now I was the one checking on patients, helping them wash, taking their temperatures. Good work, important work, but not what I'd trained for. I reapplied every 3 months. Every 3 months, the same answer. Then in early 2023, I was having coffee with Sarah, who'd been in my year at university. She mentioned something that didn't make sense. Did you know the nursing school still has empty places on the graduate programme? 30 of them just sitting there. I walked over to the University of Suffolk campus that afternoon. Sarah was right. I could see the simulation labs through the windows, the beds set up for training, the equipment ready, but half the spaces were empty. I asked the receptionist about it. Oh yes, we have capacity for more students, but Health Education England has capped the funding. We can only take the numbers they'll pay for. I stood in that corridor looking through the glass at empty training bays and something clicked. There were 30 qualified people like me, ready to train. There were 30 empty spaces waiting for us. There were wards upstairs where nurses were working double shifts because they couldn't fill the vacancies, but someone in London had decided that the numbers didn't add up. I started asking questions. How many healthcare assistants were there in the trust who wanted to train as nurses? Dozens. How many cleaners and porters and administrators had nursing degrees from overseas that weren't being recognised? More dozens. How many patients were waiting longer for care because there weren't enough qualified nurses on shift? The answer to that one was harder to get, but I could see it myself. Night shifts with one qualified nurse covering two wards. Day shifts where the senior nurse couldn't take a break because there wasn't anyone to cover. Patients pressing their call buttons and waiting. Not because the staff didn't care, but because there simply weren't enough hands. The people existed, the training facilities existed, the need existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I started to understand that the government that prints the notes I earned as a healthcare assistant was claiming it couldn't find enough of those same notes to train me properly. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed. We did. Whether the skills could be taught. They could. Whether the equipment was available. It was. Sitting empty half the time. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. When my mum's household said we can't afford it, that was real. We didn't issue our own currency. But when Health Education England said we can't afford it, they were speaking for a government that does issue the pound, that creates money every time it spends. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. all of them. Now I work as a healthcare assistant and I watch the empty training bays and the overstretched wards and the qualified people stacking shelves at Tesco because someone decided the numbers don't add up. I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or unfortunate timing. It was a series of political choices made by people who had alternatives. Every time a Treasury minister says there's no money for nurse training while the training centres sit half empty, they're making a choice. Every time Health Education England caps the places below the number of people ready to fill them, they're making a choice. It's the same choice being made in every constituency where need and capacity exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare.
What Clara experienced, it has a name, fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies once paraded doctors in white coats claiming cigarettes were healthy. The authority wasn't in the evidence, but in the repetition by people with credentials. In healthcare spending, the same pattern appears. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. This fake expertise kept Clara and her colleagues trapped. Every NHS manager who told her there is no funding was repeating what Treasury economists had declared, that government spending must be rationed like household income. The training places sat empty because experts had decreed that spending money into existence would somehow make the economy worse, not better. But the UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Clara's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Bury St Edmunds and Stowmarket ranks 363 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025. The constituency has 3,013 registered charities according to the Charity Commission register. Total grants received amount to £23.3 million according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.